Perhaps I could just read a few words in Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor of the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Chapter 6. Verse 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetimes. Verse 16, Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And in chapter 9, and verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 weeks in the desolation of Jerusalem. These few verses have been before us already this week in the Bible reading. I feel the Lord would have me to bring them together and apply them to each one of us in this room. We read of Elijah that he was a man of like passions as we are. And I don't think it would be stretching scripture to say that Daniel was a man of like passions as we are. Daniel was a prophet, but I don't think that we could say that there was anything particularly super about Daniel as the person. And yet there are these characteristics that we see in the life of Daniel. And the first one, in chapter 1, he was separated. He was a separate person. In chapter 6, we find that he was a faithful person. We find he was a prayerful person. We find that he was a continuous person. And in chapter 9, we've quoted it much this week, he was a person who read the scriptures, and how these characteristics should be the mark of every one of us here tonight. Ernie quoted the well-known but true Sunday school hymn, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Now, as far as Daniel is concerned, we know nothing of his parents. We know nothing of his grandparents. We cannot quote, as Paul did, Timothy. He had known the Holy Scriptures. But I would give a suggestion that there is a key in his very name, Daniel. There are many names in the Bible that we like to look up and find the meaning of. But with the name Daniel, we don't have to go far. Genesis 30, verse 6, we find there that Rachel's maid gave birth to a son, and she said, God has judged, therefore I'm paraphrasing the statement. Therefore, she called his name Dan. And I think that we can see that Daniel means God will judge. And perhaps Daniel's parents were godly in the land of Israel at the time when Daniel was born, and seeing the condition all around them, they gave their child's name God will judge. You know, beloved, there are many of us here that have had a tremendous privilege of being brought up in Christian homes. And let us, who have been brought up in Christian homes, never for a minute despise the fact that our parents' chief concern is that our children should be brought to know the Lord Jesus and brought to follow him down here. And I believe that there was that which was instilled in Daniel's life as he was being brought up. The scripture says, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart therefrom. I know it's in another connection, but in the New Testament, in Hebrews 12, it says, despise not the chastening of the Father, for whom the Lord loveth, them he chasteneth. And indeed, it says we are fathers of the flesh, and they have chastened us. Indeed, it's a good thing as we look back that the discipline that our fathers give to us. However, when Daniel is taken into Babylon, there were 101 reasons why he should have given up the godly path that he had been brought up in. The nation of Israel, which were God's people, had been sold to Babylon, and he may have said, well, why bother to go on in the things of God? And no doubt, we quoted this afternoon, 42,000 some odd that came back with Ezra. There were many that had gone into to Babylon. And yet it seems to me that Daniel felt he was on his own. And yet, you know, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We've already mentioned that we're living in a world which is defiling. It's a world that will defile our hearts, defile our minds, and defile our lives. And if we're going to be here for the Lord and be able to be used by the Lord, we need to be separated from this world, the world that is coming under the judgment of God. We see that Daniel purposed in his heart. He had read the Old Testament. He had read Deuteronomy. And he had read their references in relation to food that he should eat and food that he shouldn't eat. It wasn't just a head knowledge. It was his affections were tied up in it. And he realized that to do this would be dishonoring to God. And there are things in this world which Satan would try and get us to do, which are dishonoring to God. And you know, there are many wonderful practical features that we see in Daniel. But I believe that if we want to follow truly these practical features, first of all, we will see them fulfilled in perfection in the Lord Jesus as he walked through this scene. We're often told when people try and dabble with the things of this world, but the Lord Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. And I asked the person who says that, I said, where do you read it in the Bible? And they scratched their head and they said, well, we do, don't we? And I said, yes, we do. It's in Matthew 11. And there it's the accusation made by the Pharisees. They said, this man eateth, receiveth sinners, he receiveth publicans and sinners. It was an accusation against the Lord Jesus. We know that there were times when the Lord Jesus was in the company of publicans and sinners. But on each occasion, I think you'll find that the publicans and sinners came to Jesus. The one that we remember very clearly is in Luke chapter 1. In Luke 15, verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. And the idea that seems to be going around, that unless we are in the world, so to speak, unless we have many friends in the world and do what the world do, we will never convert them. The warning is given very clearly for all of us in the question of Lot. Lot was a man that went down. He always went down. He went down into Sodom and Gomorrah. In order to make that place a better place, we read he was at the gate, he was a judge. But you know, he never made it any better at all. And he was taken out, as we would say, by the skin of his teeth. And so the first lesson that I think we need to learn is there is the definite need to be separated. And Daniel may have thought, well, it's going to be tough on my own. But in the next verse, three friends are joined with him. The next point, though, just very quickly, we just go to chapter 9. The question of Daniel, he understood by books. And we know from the verse that it was Jeremiah the prophet that Daniel was reading. He had the Old Testament scriptures, some of them, and in his spare time he was reading through the scriptures. You know, this world is full of literature. You can have literature, you can have books on any subject you want. The devil has made certain that there's a book on every subject and it comes out every week. And you can buy them and you can fill your mind with what the world has to produce. But Daniel, he read the book. And you know, there is only one book that's really worth our attention in this day, and that's the scriptures. And Daniel read the scriptures. All the other books, I quote a brother who's here who said, must be 30 years ago, it may be good for information, but it is not food for the soul. And if we want to feed our soul, it's here in this book. A wonderful example of a person who had the knowledge of the scriptures. Again, we would go back to the Lord Jesus. When Satan tempted the Lord, as we record in the wilderness, he went back to Deuteronomy. He quoted the word of God. And we ought to be careful, because the devil also knows the word of God. And he misquoted a verse of scripture. And so we need to keep reading the Bible. Keep reading it through. And you know, there is no age limit to the reading of the scriptures. We've got to keep at it. Because it is Satan knows that if he can get saints who don't know the scriptures, he will soon have them away from the Lord. How we need to follow the footsteps of Daniel and continually read the scriptures. We come back to chapter 6, and we find here that Daniel, not only was he a man who was separated from the world, not only was he a man who read the scriptures, but he was a man who prayed. And it seemed to me in reading this verse that Daniel had got into a routine of praying three times a day. Whereas it's not my position to tell you how many times you should pray a day, but to be in a spirit of prayer is what we need. We have often thought of Nehemiah in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, which we read in the beginning of our Bible readings together. He was before the king, and the king said to him, "What do you want to do, Nehemiah?" And he said, "So I prayed to God and I asked the king." It was a straightforward prayer. You know, very often we're in difficult circumstances and all of a sudden we need to pray, and we can pray. And what a wonderful thing is that the God who we pray to is a God that answers prayer. You know, if we want to take hold, if we want to be able and to be in the right spirit when difficulties come to pray, we think of Nehemiah. In chapter 1, and most of chapter 1, is Nehemiah's prayer for the city of Jerusalem. He heard about what was happening in Jerusalem. He sat down, he wept, and he prayed. And I think if we look at it rightly, the chronological order in Nehemiah, we find that chapter 1 took place, and 4 months later, he was before the king. And I believe that every day Nehemiah prayed the same thing. He never gave up praying for the country and for Jerusalem. When the opportunity came, he was able to call upon God straight away. You know, I can't overemphasize how great prayer is. And I believe that I am here tonight because of the prayers of the saints. We need to pray one for another. And you know, if we need an example, we need to look no further than Luke's gospel. I believe the first time we read of the Lord praying is when he was baptized, when he came up out of the waters. It says he prayed. We may think, you know, that it was the last time, that was the least time he would need to pray. Everything was going well, so to speak. But it was at that time he he prayed. And surely when things are going well in our lives, it is at those times that we need to pray just as much as when they're not going well. But not only did Daniel pray, we mentioned this afternoon the importance of praying for kings and for rulers and for those that are in authority. We often read the quotation from 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul could say, we should pray for these people. And at that time, he wasn't praying for prime ministers in a democracy. He was praying for dictators and Nero. And there were terrible things that were about to happen to Paul. And yet he still told the saints that they should pray for them. And no doubt we too should pray for those that are in authority and for those that rule over us. And not only then did Daniel pray, but he gave thanks. And how little in my own life do we bother, as it were, we're so busy, to stop and give thanks. And yet Daniel did. We remember the account of the Lord Jesus. It's in Luke's Gospel, he says, at one stage everything was seemed to be falling down around him. He speaks about, woe unto Chorazin, woe unto Capernaum. If the mighty works had been done in you, they would have repented long ago. And then he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. What a wonderful example of a man down here who accepted from the will of God the pathway that he was taken, and he could be thankful. So, beloved brethren, not only do we need to pray that the Lord would bless us, but we need to take time to thank the Lord for what he has done in blessing us. And also we read in verse 4 that Daniel was faithful. You know, we read the scriptures, we come to meetings, we seem to be steeped, as it were, in the divine things and how wonderful it is. And yet, you know, are we being faithful to carry out what the scriptures are saying to us? This is a challenge to each one of us. We go back from Kilkeel and we go back to our small assemblies. And as we go back to our work and our colleges and our school, are we being faithful to what we've heard? We've heard that this world in which we're living in is coming under the judgment of God. We've heard that the word of God is the only thing that will satisfy us and the only thing that will feed the renewed mind. We've heard that prayer is that which is absolutely vital in our Christian lives. But are we going to carry these things out as we continue our life? And the final thing, and this is the word spoken not from a believer, but the king commanded. The king commanded in verse 16, and he said, thy God whom thou servest continually. Very often when we're speaking about the scriptures, when we talk about prayer, when we talk about reading the Bible, when we talk about separation, we may tend to think of the young people. We may tend to think that the old people have perhaps got beyond that, but of course we all know that the old people need as much exhortation. There's as much temptations, I think, in my life today as there's ever been. We need separation when we get old. There's as much desire, there's as much things to read, and we need the exhortation to read the scriptures. And there's as much things to take our time when we get old that we need to commit time to prayer. But perhaps when we come to this verse, the God who thou servest continually, this is a verse for the older people in our midst. Can we say that about you? Is there that continuous thing in your life that you serve the Lord? Do the young people look to you as one that sometimes you're out at the meetings and sometimes you're not out at the meetings? Sometimes you're ready to give them time. Sometimes you're ready to speak to them. Sometimes you're ready to encourage them. Or can we say, the God who thou servest continually. What a good thing it is to remember that the Lord Jesus never at one time did he flinch from doing the will of his Father. As we read yesterday in the Gospel, the pathway that took the Lord Jesus was not, as we would say, a pathway of roses, but it took him right on to Calvary's cross. And in Philippians chapter 2, when speaking of the Lord Jesus and the mind that should be in us, he says that he went even to the death of the cross. That is how far the Lord went in his continuous service for God. And the simple point that I would raise to not only the elders here, the old people, but to every one of us, do the world look at our lives and see a continuation, that there's something that we have that is worth doing, not just at conference time. It is comparatively easy to be a Christian in a Christian conference, but it's a lot more difficult when you get back to your work and to your college situations. It's easy to slip out of this continual Christian life. And I just pass these few little thoughts on about Daniel. We see that Daniel continued, it says, in the first verse, first chapter, the last verse of the first chapter, we get mentioned there. And Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. And I believe that some of these features which we see marked in Daniel, the fact that he was separated from what was going on, and we can read it and we can talk more about this separation and the risk that Daniel was taken. It wasn't a risk that we may take when we are separated from the world. If Daniel, things went wrong here, Daniel would have lost his head. There's no question about it. Daniel was separated, and we ought to be separated from a world which is coming under the judgment of God. And while we're waiting, we've got his precious word. And that should be our number one read. If we want a book to read, we ought to read the Bible. And not only so, but prayer. We need to pray more. And I speak to myself on all of these things. I'm not standing here as someone who's attained, but I know that I need to read the scriptures more and need to pray more. And there need to be that continuation in my life. I just trust that these things will help each one of us to carry on for the Lord.